Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 8, Episode 83, and we are kind of in the throes here of the offseason. This is kind of the quiet time before we get to free agency, which will start in about a month. And then, of course, we'll get into all the draft stuff that comes with that. Just a programming note, Dave's going to be heading back to Florida a week this coming Tuesday for about a week. So we will do the early part of the week podcast back on Monday next week, and then we'll take the rest of the week off and be back with you the following Monday. So, Dave, I guess at the end of the season, we're used to Art Rooney and Kevin Colbert speaking. When you go 13-3 and you lose in the first round in a home playoff game, there's obviously a lot of good in the regular season going 13-3, and there's obviously a lot of disappointment of getting bounced so quickly. And I'm not sure we've heard anything that is surprising, but clearly when Kevin spoke, as Art did to some degree, focused on the defense and what the defense needs to do to be better, because, you know, when you get smoked by the Jags and give up that many points, and we saw the defense certainly when Shazier was hurt, was not very effective. So that was his focus.
Yeah, happy belated Valentine's Day, David.
I'm sure your
woman took care of you, right? Oh, I'm sorry, women.
Just leave that one hanging out there.
All right. Second, two months from today, I turn 50. How's it like on that side of the fence?
Dark. It's dark.
Yeah. I don't so much look 50 as much as I damn sure feel and act 50 sometimes. That's for sure. Okay, on to the important stuff. Kevin Colbert did indeed hold his annual what I like to call pre-combine talk with the local media. And you know, did we learn anything new? No. But once again, as I always like to say, it's good to hear some of the things come out of the proverbial horse's mouth. And one of the big takeaways, him saying, you know, the 2017 season wasn't as successful as the season prior because they got bounced in the first round of playoffs. And I like how you put it, smoked by the Jags. That should be a band name, smoked by the Jags. the main things he hit on, of course, was you have to be better against the run, and you cannot give up big, you know, passing plays. And the Steelers certainly did do that. The running game, if you remember, kind of hit and miss during those first, say, 12 weeks of the season there. I think the biggest takeaway of the running game in those first 12 games was how many explosive runs that they gave up, and how that severely impacted average yards per carry stat. But I think as a whole, I'll have to go back and look at this. I think as a whole, you know, the successful run rate against the defense through the first 12 games wasn't bad at all when you go play-by-play basis. Now, obviously, you know, as we've talked about before, you can give up a couple of three-yard runs only, but if you give up a 60-yard run, you know, later, I mean, that really, really hurts, that kind of thing. Now, obviously, in the second from, you know, week 13 on, once Ryan Shazier went down, boy, it really wasn't good. And it just goes to show you how big of element and what a big factor it was losing your quarterback of the defense in Ryan Shazier. And then not only that, and Colbert was right to point this out yesterday as well, too. Not only did you lose him, you lost his backup in Tyler Matakavich. Now, would Tyler Matakavich have made that much of a difference over a guy like Sean Spence? You know, maybe against a run a little bit, But even so, he's not a sideline-to-sideline guy either. And how many times do we see a guy like Sean Spence just be unable to make the Ryan Shazier-type play moving sideline to sideline? And Tyler Matakavich, for those that may not remember, injured his shoulder in that same game that Ryan Shazier went down. While he only missed one game, that shoulder injury prevented him from playing defense. He only played special teams for the rest of the season there. And that, of course, in turn led to Sean Spence being brought in and playing the lion's share of the snaps. Now, as far as the big plays go, well, we've spent a couple of podcasts, it seems like, on those, David. If it's something like 47 or 48 plays of 20 yards or more through the air, I think 14 of those, 14 or 15, something along those lines, went for 40 yards or more, and half of those ended up in the end zone in a touchdown. So, this defense definitely went from, you know, didn't start off great, got a little bit better, and then just really fell to pieces in the second half of the season. And Kevin was right to address those issues that unit had. And, you know, it's going to be a different unit in 2018.
Well, that's the interesting question. How different is it going to be? There's going to be somebody playing inside linebacker is going to be different. And, you know, whether that's a first or second round draft pick or an unrestricted free agent, we'll see how that plays out. We'll see what they decide to do with Mike Mitchell. Dave, kind of where the Steelers go with that. I'm dead on the fence as to where I think they will go. I don't think that it's given that Mike Mitchell's gone. In fact, you know, in this whole conversation, when we talk about the cap and you know, the other things going on, look, I don't think Joe Hayden's going to be gone either, but I'm just surprised that the conversation is largely Mike Mitchell's definitely gone and Joe Hayden's definitely not gone. That certainly may be how it ends up, but it's not, you know, the perception that Joe Hayden came in and had a great season. Joe Hayden was fine, but I don't know that Joe Hayden, you know, you got to think, as with everything, as with our conversations about Le'Veon Bell, it's not saying Le'Veon Bell's not a good player. It's, is Le'Veon Bell a player you want to pay $15 million to, and what are your other options? Well, obviously, the Steelers don't have a ton of options at the corner position. They've got Cam Sutton, but, you know, they'd have to go back in the draft and figure things out in free agency. So the likelihood is that, you know, really maybe the likelihood is both guys are back, but, you know, the other positions on the defense, the defensive line isn't changing. You've got a different defensive line coach. Maybe that helps you out a bit. The outside guys are former first round picks. They're not getting cut. You know, we know TJ Watt and Dupree are going to be your starters when the season starts, barring injury. So it's, it is going to be the guys who were there are going to be largely, not exclusively, but largely the same group of guys.
Yeah, you might have you might find a way to get Cameron Sutton on the field instead of William Gay, right? If you as far as a dime defender, I mean, let's face it, by the end of this season, William Gay was really a very small role player in the dime. So can you get a guy, assuming you don't cut ties with Joe Hayden, you would think it's going to be Joe Hayden, Artie Burns on the outside. You're going to have Mike Hilton in the slot. And then, you know, you have a guy in Cameron Sutton that you can, you have to find a way to work him on the field. Now, that brings up a good, you know, a good thing. You know, do you go to Joe Hayden and say you have to take a pay cut, you know, which is really something, it sounds good in theory, and Steeler fans will throw that out. Oh, just go to him and make him take a pay cut. Well, we only have seen that just a few times, you know, over the years where you actually get a guy to take a pay cut. So I don't think that's going to happen with Joe Hayden. You have to decide, is he just worth that money to at least start for you one more year? And then additionally, I mean, you spent a third round draft pick on Cameron Sutton. How you got to get him on the field some way. Now, is we in an ESPN article, I don't know, was it around the Super Bowl or something like that, Joe Hayden talked about his visualization training that he goes through, and he talked, there was a mention in that story about him preparing himself for a move to safety later in his career. Could it be an option that anybody currently under contract? I fantasized a little bit about Brian Allen potentially moving to safety, and I think even Alex wrote about it the last week and a half or so ago. We've known in the past that William Gay has been kind of an emergency safety, but at his age, do you really want to take a guy like him? Do you really gain anything by moving him back to center field? I think the answer is no there. Can a guy like Cameron Sutton, can a guy like Brian Allen, or can a guy like Joe Haden potentially be a guy that moves to free safety? Or even, people will throw out Sean Davis. But, I mean, Sean Davis really doesn't, if you even go back to his time, I think, at Maryland there, he had to move to cornerback because of injuries, but he was pretty much an in-the-box player as well. But is it fathomable to potentially move him to one of those guys to free safety and then go into the draft? And to me, it's easier to draft a free safety kind of linebacker hybrid in this class than it is to go out and get a guy out of college that you can just throw in there in the back and center field at free safety. And thinking about that same subject, when is the last time the Steelers have developed their own free safety?
Well, okay, to take the last question first, I mean, it doesn't matter if you have a guy like Ryan Clark who steps in and does the job, then you don't need to be criticized for it. You went into free agency and found a guy, and he manned that position for an extended period of time. So I don't really look at it as a criticism of the Steelers that they've gone into free agency and found two guys, one in Clark who was a good football player and a very good signing. I think Mitchell's has not been as good as Ryan Clark in terms of the signing, but he hasn't been awful. Certainly, there was justifiable criticism of his play at times this year, and we'll see where things go. And that's why I don't think. I mean, we talk about $5 million. I mean, $5 million for a defensive starter is not a lot of money. I mean, this is not. You have to decide if Mike Mitchell can play. But I look at the $5 million and say, look, this is, talking about what to do with Vance McDonald at $4.1 or $4.3 million, whatever it is. The numbers that guys are making, the Tuitts and the Haywards, your first round picks will start to scale up as time goes on. It's just that's why, to your point, I think you're 100% right about you want to get guys like Cam Sutton on the field because they're cheap. And if you can save money there, you can spend money other places. And that's, that's the question. At some point here, they're going to say, Cam Sutton's going to be in his second year. And obviously he missed, 80% of the first year just being on IR. But you were able to get Artie Burns on the field. You were able to get Sean Davis on the field. Sure, they probably didn't step forward as much as you would have liked this year. If you can get Cam Sutton on the field – and you decide on September 1st that you can move on from Joe Haden, well, it gives you that there are two things there. One is it does give you cap flexibility and frees up some money, but you will have made all the personnel decisions you're going to make at that point in time, most likely. You're not going to cut Joe Haden to go sign another, $9 million guy. So I don't think, we talk about this. There are two things I think, and they're opposed to each other. What is, I think we over-dramatize sometimes, flipping sides or doing some different things in the NFL. It's the highest level of football. Certainly you don't, a guy who's playing wide receiver is not going to go play tight end. But a guy who plays left guard can play right guard. A guy who plays left tackle can move to right tackle. These things happen. It's not what you'd ideally like to do. So a guy moving from free safety to strong safety, if they have the skill set, sure, it can happen. The way I look at it is they're not going to move either of the young corners at this point anywhere than to have them play corner this year and figure out if they can play corner, because that's a top priority with Sutton and Allen. If they were to move Sean Davis from one side to the other, one position to the other, I don't think that's a big deal. I think he can certainly do it, but you still got to fill one of those two positions back there. I'll be surprised if William Gay's on the team this coming year. And, like I said, I think the interesting conversation is Mitchell and Haden, and you know, if it's a given that Hayden's back, and then the question on Mitchell, or is it a given that Hayden's back? So Cam Sutton's the wild card here, and it would be, you know, look, he got playing time. They put, you know, they got some stuff for him to, he got some experience because Hayden got hurt. They had to put him in there. Sensabaugh wasn't really kind of maybe as good as they had hoped. And so I wouldn't say it's unfathomable to think that you're starting, that Cam Sutton is one of your starting corners next year. I don't think it's likely, but it's not unfathomable.
Well, if that's the case, then it's because Joe Hayden's gone.
Yeah, gone or injured, obviously, yeah.
And Joe Hayden, I think, is due $1 million roster bonus soon, if I'm not mistaken. So you obviously would have to make a decision on him, or maybe not. I mean, it's not like eating $1 million, like the Steelers haven't. Ate $1 million, you know, and then later moved on from a player. But you would think in the next couple of weeks they'll have made the decision whether or not Joe Hayden, you know, will be part of the 2018. I tend to think they will. I just can't, you know, I can't fathom them going out and signing him on the deal that they did with the. As late as they did in the offseason. Of course, he was still property of the Browns for such a long time, that you know, a one-year rental type deal. So with that said, you know, I think you have – and look, I think you have to find a way to get Cameron Sutton. Now, people say, well, just bench Artie Burns. Look, I'm still not a huge Artie Burns fan, but I think it's too quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater right now.
That's not happening. He's going to be starting
corner. Right. So how do you get Cameron Sutton on the field? And remember that during his junior year and eventually his senior year, you know, there was talks about, okay, he's probably not quick enough. You know, maybe he's a potential move to free safety type of guy. So I don't think you can entirely rule that out with him. We all know how smart of a player he is and how they gushed over him, how he knows where everybody's supposed to be on the field. Well, that's certainly something you want, you know, out of your last line of defense, if you will. Now, I think the overarching thought by most of our listeners would be to hell with Mike Mitchell. Just go ahead and cut the cord there, and we'll take our chances that the Steelers can find somebody in free agency or they can get somebody in a draft. But you cannot go into the draft thinking that you're going to get X player. You know, let's say you have one or two players that really fit what you like to do, have the measurables, you think they can come in and play. Play free safety for you right away. You can't go into the draft thinking, you know, well, we got to get one of these two players, and if we don't, well, what are we going to do? So that's why I've said in the past, even though there is a high likelihood that Mitchell is cut here in the coming weeks, it would not surprise me if he holds on past. You know, there's no roster bonus. It doesn't cost you anything except for the $5 million minus whatever roster displacement there would be. You know, let's say $4.5 million. You know, it cost you $4.5 million to carry Mike Mitchell through. You know, through at least the draft, and then you can decide maybe. Now, when you look at, and like I said, and I'm scratching the surface still on some of these safety prospects. That are kind of considered first two rounds, if you will. You know, to me, there's not many that you can slam dunk and say, this guy would make a great impact free safety right away in the NFL, you know? So then what are you, if you're not guaranteed to go that route, then obviously if you're going to cut Mike Mitchell early, it's not going to be Robert Golden back there on the back end. And let's suppose that they don't move one of these other players to free safety. Then your only other route is free agency. And yeah, Eric Reed, you know, the 49ers, that would be a nice have, but that guy's probably going to be the top of the food chain when it comes to free agent safeties, and you know he's going to be expensive. I imagine LaMarcus Joyner from the Rams is going to be expensive, and you know behind them, I think you have guys like Morgan Burnett, who's 29, And then Kenny Vaccaro, a former first-round draft pick. Now, if memory serves me, the Steelers had some eyes on Kenny Vaccaro that draft year. I can't remember right off the top of my head if they brought him in for a pre-draft visit. But the other guy, I mean, Trey Boston, the Steelers showed interest in Trey Boston at one point during last offseason. But even the season that he had, you know, you're going to pay a little bit for him as well, too. So I think it's all, I mean, all options are obviously on the table. And I, you know, for me to sit here and be able to pinpoint exactly which way the Steelers are going to go when it comes to that back end of the secondary, I can't.
Sure, we're all guessing on that stuff. I mean, to pick a guy and say, you know, this is the guy the Steelers are going to sign at any of these positions, where, you know, you're 95% chance you're going to be wrong on all of them. I mean, look, there are 32 teams out there. I mean, you know, Kenny Vaccaro is a, he had a very interesting career with the Saints. He was there early, then kind of lost his job, and then a little bit of redemption last year with some good players around him. You know what? Well, how much is he going to cost? Is he going to make $5 million a year? I don't know if he's going to make that kind of top-end money. You went over the other names that could be significant guys, and again, it's the equation of talent versus money. And obviously, the more talented a guy is perceived to be, the more he costs, and how does that fit in with what you're trying to do? And the Steelers are going to look at exactly the same type of stuff at the inside linebacker position. And look, you know, as we said, we've been on kind of record here for 3 or 4 months of saying the Steelers, you know, priority needs are going to be linebacker, inside linebacker, safety, and they maybe go back at the linebacker position again, maybe inside or maybe outside. But that's got to, you know, this is a draft where the Steelers could, you know, almost, you know, they could take five defensive players and a wide receiver or a running back and you know, be done with it, you know, loading up on the defensive side of the ball. You know, we'll have the same conversation about who were the free agents at the inside linebacker position and who fits the Steelers. Well, you know, with paying the money that they've paid on defense, they're not likely to spend a, you know, look, they looked at Dont'a Hightower last year, right? So, you know, he's set with the Patriots now. And the question is, look, Zach Brown again is a guy that I thought they should have looked at last year. We're going to hear some names of older guys. Navarro Bowman's a name that's going to get thrown around. Paul Posluszny's a name that's going to get thrown around. And the reason you might do that, particularly a guy like, you know, maybe a guy like Posluszny's interesting, is A, he's a very smart guy. B, he's probably not going to – nobody's going to beat his door down the first day of free agency to sign him because he's 33 years old. He's had some injury history. But what you could do is if you're able to get a guy in the first round of the draft and a guy like Posluszny's still out there, you can sign him to a one-year deal to be a – transitional guy if the starter's not ready, the rookie's not ready on day one, and be a mentor to these guys. And we've seen the Steelers do that on occasion. It's, you know, Kevin has said very clearly that's not the ideal. Doesn't mean they wouldn't do it. They'd rather get a guy coming off his first contract who has more upside. But, you know, we're going to hear all these names, and the reality is none of them are silly. It's just, you know, how does that fit in? Again, cost. You signed Posluszny to a one-year deal. Some of these other guys, you're not going to be able to sign to a one-year deal. You know, you're going to have to make it more enticing for them. So, you know, we'll go through all these names and try and give our opinions, and many of our listeners are going to have, you know, good, valid opinions as well as to where this is going to go. But it's, you know, it's putting the jigsaw puzzle together, a free agency, the draft, the guys you have on the roster, and what you're trying to do within the salary cap and you know, trying to sort it out.
I think there's more potential to more likelihood, and Kevin Colbert, you know, didn't rule this out during his talk on Thursday either, that they could indeed address the inside linebacker position in free agency. Now, none of the, and I wrote about this, I think I talked about this on the podcast as well too, Kevin has a way of making sure he covers up some of his holes via the free agent signing period and then addressing those same holes in the draft. It's only smart to do so because, look, we all want the Georgia linebacker Roquan Smith,
right?
To fall to the Steelers. A lot of the mock drafts have the kid out of Rashawn Evans out of Alabama falling to the Steelers. What if neither of those two guys fall? Okay. obviously people can come up with a few more names. A kid out of BYU. is a name to watch as well too. But or Boise State, I'm sorry, Boise State. But Kevin has a way of addressing some of these holes via free agency as if the draft isn't going to happen, and then he addresses those positions again during the draft. Now, I have studied more about the free agent linebackers, inside linebacker prospects, more than I have the free safety position, and there are three names that jump out at me. Now, look, Zach Brown, why in the heck the Steelers didn't go after Zach Brown last year, when he was available as long as he was, I don't know. I mean, is there something that they just don't like about him? It's possible, but he's going to be a free agent again. Now, him aside, boy, DeMario Davis with the Jets, David. I think he's 29, which is right on the top of that scale where the cutoff line. Remember, the Steelers don't, under Kevin Colbert, don't have a history of signing outside free agents of 30 years or older. They're going to be 30 years or older by the time the first game comes around. Outside of players that have played for them in the past, they don't have a history of signing defensive free agents 30 or years older that have not previously played for the franchise. In fact, I think Mike Jones, many, many, many moons ago, is the lone exception to that rule when it comes to outside free agents never playing for the Steelers defensive
side. Stevie Johnson, was he 30?
No, Stevie Johnson, much, much, much younger than that. But DeMario Davis is a guy that really sticks out and really.
I mean, my one comment on that point is, look, you've got to look at every year differently. And it's like going back, saying the Steelers hadn't taken a cornerback in the first round in 15 years, so they won't take a cornerback. You got to do what is appropriate for your team at the time. And, what Zach Brown, he's 28. Paul Posnelli's 33. Some of the younger guys are going to be more expensive. You got to do what's best for your team. And I'm sure the Steelers are not walking around going, the guy's 30, so we're not going to sign him. If it makes sense, because you can get him cheaper and he can fill, in a one-year deal and he's the right guy, then you do it. If it doesn't make sense, you don't do it. Look, in every, it's kind of a given in all these sports. Younger guys are typically have more upside to progress from, a guy over 30. So they don't do it for the obvious reasons. We'll see where they go. But I'm sure they're not, walking around going, that guy's 30, we can't sign him.
All right, when's the last time the Steelers have gone out and signed a veteran free agent defensive player to a one-year deal for near or at the minimum that wound up starting?
Well, I'm sure there aren't many of them, right? I mean, but that's not, you don't really sign guys at that age for the veteran minimum to expect them to start. You sign them as depth guys like Tyson Alulu or, Arthur Motes or whatever. That's not really what, if you're signing those guys for that roles, then you probably got some big issues.
Right. So thus, I don't think I like Paul Posnelli, but
but you're not signing him to be the starting guy. I'm saying you draft your first round pick. You hope Evans is there. You take him at one, and then you send Posnelli so that you got a backup or you got a guy who can transition to the first round guy. It's not it's a stopgap, right? You hope your first round picks can step in and play, but they can't always step in and play.
I think you have to go into it with the idea that the guy that you sign is going to be your starter, and if the guy that you draft pans out, fantastic.
That's fair enough. I mean, that's fair enough. But and again, that's can Zach Brown do it for will he sign another 1 year deal? Will some of those younger guys who are out there, we're just throwing names out of guys, but. Some of the other younger guys out there, they're going to be, how long a deal do you got to sign them to? What's Vince have? Vince will have 2 years. He has 2 years left on his deal right now.
I think he might
signed
be,
a 3 year deal last year.
I think he's entering the final year of that deal now. 2018 is the final year of his deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to be looking. Look, the Steelers need to revamp. We thought they were in a position to start to do that last year. They drafted a guy, but you know, LJ Fortin and Tyler Matakevich as special team guys are great, but you don't have a guy who clearly that you felt all that great about sticking in there. You know, Matakevich clearly had the injury issue. Chiklo as your number one backup is not, you know, again, he's a better special teams player than he is anything else. So they're gonna have to add maybe three new bodies to the linebacker position between free agency and the draft this offseason, in terms of the entire linebacking position.
I think where they messed up last year is going into the season with Tyler Matakevich being the primary backup.
And I agree.
Apologies to the Tyler Matakevich fan club. Look, I like the kid. He's a hell of a special teams player. And look, as a backup strong side guy, in other words, a backup guy to Vince Williams, I have no issue with it. But to go into it with him being thinking that he's going to or having him as your best option as a backup to both Ryan Shazier and Vince Williams, I thought that's where the foolishness was.
Well, now, and here's what's odd about it is because they were a whisker away, apparently, from signing Dont'a Hightower to a, you know, significant contract. Let's just call it that because we don't know exactly what the terms were. But they're a whisker away from committing, you know, tens of millions of dollars to Dont'a Hightower, and then they did nothing. They didn't go, you know, I mean, you know, you had to assume Hightower's going to get paid, Vince Williams is going to get bounced out of the starting lineup, and he's going to be your backup. So you're that close to having that happen. And pretty much, you know, from all our understanding is the deal was on the table from the Steelers. So Hightower just had to agree to it. So you're that close to making that decision, and then he walks away from that deal and you don't do anything else to address it. So, that's a little bit odd that, you know, they almost made a big splashy signing and then they didn't do anything.
All right, look, when you address this free agency at the inside linebacker position, you got to ask yourself, does this – look, I mean, it's going to be hard to find – I mean, you're not going to find another Ryan Shazier, but you need to try to get as close to that as you possibly can. Does Derek Johnson get you there?
No, God, no. I mean, you know, Derek Johnson, again, it would be absolute kind of stopgap, kind of come in, be a you know, a good locker room guy and, you know, shake hands with everybody. But, yeah, he's not the answer. But, again, if you have to have him start 16 games for a season, you know, you would do it.
Yeah, you'd do it and you'd be giving up against the run again. Lawrence Timmons. Would you welcome him back on a one-year deal?
Well, you know, first of all, he's obviously under contract. But second of all, I do think, you know, you pointed it out earlier, the Steelers have history with their own guys, and it's the devil you know. So, you know, I would say they would have a conversation. I don't think out of hand they're going to rule it out. So, yeah, the answer would be yes.
And you're more likely going to have a conversation than him than a 35-year-old Derek Johnson.
Absolutely.
And Derek Johnson, bless his heart. I mean, a great, great locker room guy. Great. I mean, anybody play that long in the NFL, be as productive as he is for as long as he has, you know, you can take your hat off and hand it to him. But he's also had two Achilles injuries. sooner, like an old 70s action adventure show, the hubcap's going to come off at some point when the car jumps the train tracks. Look, I guess is a good way to kind of close this down. I think you look at guys like Tahir Whitehead.
I think Zach Brown would be a very good fit.
I think you look at a guy like Zach Brown. I think Avery Williamson with the Titans is just 26. He rarely came off the field with Tennessee. He's used to your system on playing with Dick LeBeau. He's very, very probably affordable player in free agency, and thus you could sign him to probably a 3 or 4 year deal. And if your draft pick can pass him. He's a guy that can play another year or two on special teams for you and be your backup. So I think you look at him. I think you look at Tahir Whitehead. And DeMario Davis is another guy, even at 29. Fantastic season, and I think kind of the other guy that fits the description there is the guy over there in where is it, the Broncos with Todd Davis, and one other guy that nobody's going to talk about, Christian Jones, is a guy that you could probably have very, very cheap that certainly would you know, kind of be a fit with what you do. And he was with the Bears first four seasons with the Bears. He had 90 total tackles last year, a couple of sacks, a couple of passes defense. So he's another potential guy. I think you have to go, I think Colbert will do this. I think that's your free agent hit this year, if you will. The guy that makes – you know, $5 to $6 million a season, let's say, right around in there. I think you have to address that position. I don't think going to Derek Johnson route or going to Lawrence Timmons route or an older, you know, Poluzny, I don't think that's the way you go. I think you got to go to one of these little bit younger guys and assume that you'll have to be married to that guy for at least 2 years.
Yeah, you probably sign him to a 2-year deal. I agree with that. And
you can sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal, and you know, I mean, we've seen it in the past, and you'll get 2 years out of him, and then you know, potentially cut him. You know,
I mean, you know, look, the James Ferrier's the example of, you know, if you hit the home run, something like that happens, and you find a guy, and
here's another thing to consider too when you talk about Steelers and free agency. They normally like the high pedigree guys, right? The former first, second, third rounders, if you will. Am I correct?
Look, again, it's what role are you asking the guy to be? And that's very, very simply. Look, they're gonna have to sign guys to take over the Arthur Motes role, the James Harrison role, which wasn't much of a role. But you got to find a starting inside linebacker. So, you know, there are different roles for different guys. And you know, so there's plenty of room on every NFL football team for guys like, you know, Arthur Motes or William Gay when the Steelers, or Darius Heyward-Bey when the Steelers signed them all a couple of years ago, because you weren't really asking any of those guys or expecting at any point in time that any of those guys were going to be starters. Maybe Gay initially, but the other two were signed to be backups. And so they're going to, you know, the Steelers need to add depth across the board defensively. We'll see, you know, if LT Walton is the number five defensive lineman, but Dan McCullers isn't going to be around next year. And so you're going to have another defensive lineman in the conversation, whether it comes from the other young guys that the Steelers have had around or, you know, through the draft or free agency. I think people look at Alualu as a solid signing, did exactly what the Steelers asked, played a fair bit and was pretty solid. So they need to do that across the board at some of these other positions to have some of that depth, which, you know, we'll see. We'll see, if Joe Hayden's on the team, you know, is Cam Sutton your nickel corner? No, the answer is probably not. Mike Hilton was good enough this year to kind of secure that spot. So then what does Cam Sutton do? And then that's the question of, you know, $9 million. What's the level of drop off from Joe Hayden to Cam Sutton? What's your depth behind Cam Sutton if you were to move on from Joe Hayden? Again, you got to put the pieces together with the contracts. And I think sometimes when we talk about these guys, we underplay, you know, the contracts. And Joe Hayden's $9 million is a huge amount of money. And Le'Veon Bell's $15 million is a huge amount of money for a team that needs to look around and secure some other pieces.
Shall we play a game, Professor Todd?
I'm ready.
Will the Steelers sign a free agent inside linebacker that averages more under 30 years of age and averages more than $3 million a season?
Yeah. Under 30 and 3 million. Yeah. I would say yes to basically anything you asked me about signing linebackers, because I think they're going to maybe sign a couple, and I don't think age will be you know, most of the guys are under 30 just by definition. Most of the good linebackers in the league are under 30. So the answer would be yes.
My answer, of course, would be yes, too. Will the Steelers sign a free agent safety under 30 that makes, that averages $5 million or more dollars?
Yeah, you're not signing any over 30 free agent safeties. So that, I would say no to that. They're better off sticking with Mike Mitchell at $5 million bucks and drafting a guy high, meaning the first three rounds, and going that route, in my opinion, than cutting Mike Mitchell and bringing in another guy who you're hoping to be better than Mike Mitchell at a higher price.
I agree. I don't think they're going to go out and spend money again on another free safety. At least big money. We'll see. Will one of those inside linebackers be either Tahir Whitehead, Avery Williamson, Zach Brown, or DeMario Davis? I gave you four names.
Give it to me again.
Tahir Whitehead, Avery Williamson, Zach Brown, or DeMario Davis?
Well, that's a good list. I mean, that's a good list. I mean, the answer to all these questions, again, obviously, is no. If you're you know, in Vegas and you're trying to play it the house way, you'd bet no, because it's four guys out of a universe of 60. So I'll say no, but I like the list.
I'll say yes, and I like the list. We'll keep it a little bit. Hey, what fun is it if we have the same answer there to this? Do you go out and examine the market of a Don Terry Poe to be your backup?
Well, you and I have both always had a good feeling about Dontari Poe. I mean, there's a number where you'd love to have him. There's probably not a number that makes sense to have him. I mean, a 2-year, you know, $7 million deal. Is he signing that? Are you gonna put him on the field enough with what you currently have to actually make that? That becomes a bit of a luxury to me with the other needs they have.
He made what, $7.5 million, I think, $8 million last year.
Yeah, that 1-year deal. You're not going to get that again, I don't think.
But. No, I don't think he's going to get that either. But can you get him 2 years for? I mean, obviously, if you're going to pay him a lot of money, then he's going to start, and we know that's not going to happen. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they could get him at a very affordable. I'm trying to remember how many snaps he played last. It didn't seem like he played a whole heck of a lot of snaps Falcons. I'm just throwing a name out there. Now, I think that the Steelers do address that position. I think you could get a nice backup defensive tackle in the fifth or sixth round, you know, of this draft. You know, they obviously got to they're going to need at least one other body, right, to replace Daniel McCullers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that's your sixth or seventh round draft pick.
Right. And I have no issue with, and I think Poe is a little bit of a reach because I think he's going to command a little bit higher salary than what the Steelers are going to be willing to pay there. But I just thought that obviously because of the Memphis connections and all like that is the reason it kind of crossed my mind there with him. Look, we don't expect them to go out and get an outside linebacker, do we?
To sign one?
Yeah.
No. Might draft one, though.
Oh, yeah.
Might draft one high.
Yeah. I just finished up a draft profile that's going up today on Steelers Depot on the Hodges kid out of Auburn, and boy, what a nice mid-round prospect he would be. So look for that on Steelers Depot later today. I'm with you. Second, third, fourth round. And look, I know they need a safety and an inside linebacker. I would put the the more priority over free safety. But you know, either way, that could go first or second round. But if you found a good edge rusher in the second round that dropped to you that you liked, I would have no qualms with them drafting one. But I think ideally, if you could get one in the third or fourth round, I think that would be absolutely, you know, great when it comes, you know, comes to that. Outside of that, though, I mean, are they going to add a, you know, above minimum salary? You know, where the above minimum salary free agent is going to come from? It's going to be inside linebacker, possibly a safety, possibly a defensive tackle. But, you know, even then, probably not going to happen with that position. Nothing on the offensive side of the ball, right?
No, they're you know, depending on what you do with the running back position, the answer is no. And look, again, not to open this can of worms for the 5,000th time, but, you know, would you like to have, you know, if I told you could have some combination of Isaiah Crowell, T.J. Yeldon, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, and James Conner for, you know, $9 million. Is that a better deal than having Le'Veon Bell for 15? Those are the things you have to ask after this whole defensive side of the ball conversation.
I just spent the last night in the morning writing up this prospect, and I called him Hodges. It's Jeff Holland out of Auburn is the edge that's going up on the side. I don't know why I got Hodges on my mind right now. We beat that horse, and what'd you just recap the whole Bell situation?
Yeah,
he's going to be a Steeler in 2018. It's just a matter of whether or not it's going to be a long-term deal or him playing underneath the franchise tag. But it goes back to what you and I talked about on that last show. And I guess we can go back and find quotes last year, Art Rooney saying that, you know, the goal, and Kevin Colbert saying the goal is to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term deal, and obviously that didn't happen.
I keep coming back to the same simple question. Why would the Steelers offer more this year than they did last year?
Well, because the cap's going up and all like that, you know. But even so, look, I mean, you're preaching kind of to the choir. Look, Le'Veon Bell is a great back. I've never said anything other than that. But when you get into the territory that he's in with his age, with the amount of carries that he's had, with the workload that he had, the total touches that he had last season, the amount of total touches that you would expect him to have in 2018, my thought, and I've said this for several weeks now, just franchise him and be done with him. Now, look, if you can sign him to a long-term deal where you're not having to throw more than $18, $19 million fully guaranteed at him and that you can cut him after the next 2 years, okay. Now, that's probably the kind of deal the Steelers are trying to go after, something that after 2 years, you know, you're still going to have some dead money on, but it's not going to cripple you if you need to part ways with him. If you can't do that, and you know, he's wanting, I mean, what is he wanting? Is he wanting an average yearly value of $17 million a year? Is he wanting true running back number one? And
he's not getting Antonio Brown money. He's just not going to do it.
You know, you would have to think that his ceiling, you know, it's capped out at $15 million per, and even that, you know, it's kind of pushing it. And, yes, I realize Le'Veon Bell is more than just a running back. He's a great blocker. He's prevented Ben Roethlisberger from getting killed countless amount of times. You can't just discount the little dump-offs that he's able to give you out of backfield and all. But even so, my biggest fear, David, is just the life shelf of a running back and the wear and tear that he's had on him and all. And, you know, look, if they can get him done, like I said, long-term deal with makes him cuttable after a couple years, that's fine. But it wouldn't hurt my feelings if he just ended up playing underneath the franchise tag. Now, how do I think this thing is going to play out? I think they get him signed to a long-term deal and then, you know, we're done talking about it in about 2 or 3 weeks from now.
I'll be shocked. I really will. I mean, you know, I hope it happens. But I'll be shocked if, you know, come What was the original date? Feb 20. We're not hitting that. That's 4 days from now. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right.
Will they put the tag on him before they sign him to a deal?
Yeah, because I don't think a deal's getting done
by March the 6th.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen?
I mean, that's you know, kind of right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well Tuesday is the 20th.
Yeah, Tuesday tag day. You're it.
And you have up until the 6th of March to use the tag. So, I mean, so it's a small, you know, couple-week window there. You know what's going to happen is I'm going to be out of town. They're going to sign him to a long-term deal. That's what's going to happen. that's what's going to happen. All right, what else did Kevin Colbert say that caught your attention?
Honestly, not much. You know, we've heard a lot about Ryan Shazier and that he's at the facility all the time. None of this is new news. It's all great news that he's part of the team, that he's part of the organization, that, you know, at some level, in some way, he'll be involved this coming season. It looks like it would be, since he's not walking unassisted at this point, it's not going to be on the field. But, you know, he's not going to be a coach, but he's going to be a guy who contributes in whatever way he can contribute. So we'll go forward with that, and we kind of continue to hear stories about that. But there's not a lot else that I thought was particularly kind of surprising.
All right. He also said, not surprising, some long-term vets with contracts on the roster may not be Steelers in 2018. Is that quote, I think, was, that's always a possibility when you're trying to get your team better and under the cap. Okay. All right. Is Mike Mitchell going to be cut before the start of the new league year?
I don't think so.
I'm right dead 50-50 on it. As whether or not I think it's going to happen. You're cutting him because you just don't see hit. You're cutting him now just because the reason you cut him now is because you want to wash the hands with him. And you figure anything that we do from this point forward is going to be better than Mike Mitchell. And as I say that, I hear a lot of people raising their hands.
Yeah, nodding their head.
nodding their head. I mean, who, you know, we know who the other candidates are to be cap casualties, and it's not like you're saying, I mean, J.J. Wilcox will be a surprise if he's not cut, right? I mean, you're not.
Yeah, $3 million. You're not paying him that.
All right. I mean, you know, are you going to cut William Gay and Cody Sensabaugh and Darius Hayward Bay now and save the couple of million dollars? You know,
I wouldn't think so.
I mean,
Sensabaugh maybe, but I expect Hayward Bay to go to camp. I don't know why you wouldn't take actually all three of them to camp. So,
I mean, at least take William Gay and Hayward Bay to camp with you. You know, it's not like you're. I mean, even if you have to cut them at a later date, it's not like, I mean, they're veteran experience and in that locker, you know, everything they have to offer the team off the field, I think, is worth holding them longer. Cody Sensabaugh, I mean, you could cut him tomorrow and nobody would bat an eye. Wilcox, just because of his cap number, I think, needs to go. But would you really cut both? I mean, if you cut Mike Mitchell and J.J. Wilcox, you're essentially left with Robert Golden and what, Jordan Dangerfield? I mean, can you really go in? Can you really start off the new league year that way?
Yeah, look, you know, as you said, look, the decisions that don't have to be made yet, you don't make. And it's pretty that simple.
And let's see, obviously Sean Davis, safety as well, too. But I mean, look. The best thing about what we do and what I do is you go through this quick little lull, you know, after the season, and then here we are back at it, you know, with Art Rooney second talking and Kevin Colbert talking. Then we're going to have another little lull here, and then we're going to go back to the combine and you know, just a constant state of the NFL offseason calendar and news cycle, I think, is what kind of makes this so, I guess, not boring, if you will. All right, I mean, anything else we have to beat up as far as you know, Kevin Colbert and Art Rooney and You know, if anything to that, I think we hit all of it, right?
No, we'll come back on Monday and take a look around the league at some of the other stuff that's going on. But, yeah, we're going to be right back at it a couple days from now. So,
all right, thoughts on A.J. McCarron and him winning his kind of, you know, arbitration, whatever, ruling?
Good for him.
Browns?
You know, again, it's easy to guess no on any particular team, but Hugh Jackson has an interest. I mean, look, if I'm the Browns, the ironic thing is the Browns had Josh McCown, who was the right guy to kind of be a caretaker for the position, and he ended up having a really good year with the Jets. And the Browns are going to be in a situation where they're in that spot again. That, you know, you probably have to use the number one pick in the draft unless you sign Kirk Cousins. Now, and I'm not opposed to this. You can sign Kirk Cousins, trade the number one pick, and just move back again, get two more first-round picks, and then you have three first-round picks, three second-round picks, and you have your quarterback. My goodness, that's, you know, franchise-changing stuff. If I'm the Browns, that's a reasonable plan of attack, but I imagine that they'll end up with a Case Keenum or a Teddy Bridgewater or somebody like that and take Rosen or Darnold at the top and go from there. But they certainly hold a ton of cards here in this, you know, in the upcoming months, because they have tons of cap space, which means they can go pay, you know, a quarterback if they want to, or they have all the draft picks.
You know what I'm doing? I'm signing I'm how much you think McCarron is worth? $5, $6, $7 million?
Yeah, I mean, look, you remember Chase Daniel signed a 3-year, $7 million deal. I think he gets something. Yeah, you know, you're probably not paying him over 10 or 11, but you're paying him more than five.
All right, here's what and Hugh Jackson obviously has a history with him, and they obviously
he's in that that window where nobody is. Nobody's in that quarterback window.
Right.
You're either a starter making 15 or more, or you're not.
He's the if come classification, and really even a little bit lower, you know, a lot lower than Garoppolo, because I think we saw enough of Garoppolo during his time with the Patriots to raise a couple of eyebrows. McCarron, obviously a lot less experience. If I'm the Browns, what I do is I go after a guy like McCarron, because I know Hugh Jackson has history with him, and they obviously, you know, tried to trade for him. I go after McCarron, and I draft a first-round quarterback to go. And then I have three quarterbacks, and hopefully one of the three pan out quickly and saves my job. So that's what I'm doing if I'm that's what I'm pushing for if I'm a Hugh Jackson. Because obviously, look, I mean, how much longer does Hugh Jackson have? I mean, he better turn this ship around.
Better win six games this year. Better win five or six games and feel good about it, because if they go 3-13, he's gone.
Right, and then you're going to upheave the whole system again, Todd Haley and all, right?
You would think.
Okay, one other thing I wanted to hit on in this podcast was the fact that you remember, David, last year right before the start of the season, the Steelers traded Ross Cockrell to the Giants for a conditional draft pick, and we've been waiting a long time to find out what round the draft pick is going to be. Well, Bob Labriola of Steelers.com reported during his asked and answered session, I think yesterday or the day before, that it's going to be a sixth-round draft pick that the Steelers get for Cockrell. That's obviously better than the seventh-round draft pick that most of us have been thinking that they might get, or the worst case scenario that they would get. It now gives them a sixth round draft pick that they previously, remember, their original sixth round draft pick in this upcoming draft has a lot of mileage on it. It went to, do you remember the path, the original?
I don't. did it go start with the kicker, Scobie?
I don't think so. The original six-round draft pick went to the Browns for Gilbert.
Okay.
It came back last year for Coates.
For Coates, right.
And then it got shipped away to the Buccaneers for Wilcox.
All right, fair enough.
All right, and then now they get a compensatory draft pick, obviously, for or not compensatory, a six-round conditional pick.
Yeah, it'll be a high pick, too. The Giants are picking second, so.
Right. I think with the projections right now, it's 179th overall. Woohoo! Now, a lot of people are asking about compensatory draft picks because of what happened with Timmons and the quality and Jarvis Jones and Wheaton and you know Alualu and some of the guys that the Steelers brought in. Well, here's the thing: the Steelers right now, according to the quote unquote experts, are not expected to receive a compensatory draft pick this year, and a lot of people are having issue with that because of the way J.J. Wilcox is listed. You know, if you go to like guys like, you know, that track this heavily, like Over the Cap and stuff like that, they have JJ Wilcox added as a free agent ad. And a lot of people were saying, well, that's wrong. They traded for JJ Wilcox. That is correct. However, remember that JJ Wilcox initially signed, last offseason with the Buccaneers to a deal. Okay. And then he never played it down for them and then was traded, okay? And you would think, well, why, you know, what's going to likely end up playing out here is that the Buccaneers are charged with a free agent addition and the Steelers are charged for a free agent addition. Now, there is apparently some precedent to this. If you go back to, I think it was the 2006 offseason, the Saints signed Michael Bennett, a running back, to a free agent contract in like March. And then before, you know, during the offseason, they traded him to the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Kansas City Chiefs ultimately had that work against them as far as compensatory picks go. So that is where the thinking is right now. As far as the whole J.J. Wilcox thing. Now, if it's determined that the Steelers are not charged as J.J. Wilcox being a free agent addition, then there's a decent chance that the Steelers would receive, I guess, a fifth-round compensatory pick. But don't ask anybody to break all this down, and damn sure don't ask Kevin Colbert to break this down, right? Because wasn't he even surprised?
Everybody was surprised last year. Steelers got a third when they thought they were getting a fifth or a sixth.
You know, so I just wanted to get out there why there's a discrepancy and why it's out there that the Steelers are not expected to receive a compensatory draft pick this year. Now, would I bet David's car on that? What kind of car do you drive, David?
I got an SUV type car.
A Vespa?
Yeah, not a Tesla, that's for sure. Somebody wants to contribute a Tesla to the cause, so you can, you know, put me in line.
A Maserati? Is that what you drive?
Yeah, it's good for the weather around here.
You know, all those potholes, right?
Yeah, I got some potholes on the roads right now. We got some water coming up the window too. I mean, we are cresting. Yeah, I assume it's the Allegheny. I'm reading a National Weather Service report. We are cresting at the highest level since January 2006, I think. So, careful where you're walking.
Oh wow, soggy shoes, huh?
Yep. Yep.
All right. One final note. Colbert did, of course, open the door for future contract restructures. That's not surprising at all, especially if you've been listening to this podcast or reading Steelers Depot. You know, the obvious candidates are guys like Antonio Brown, Alejandro Villanueva, and maybe even later a guy like Cameron Hayward. We've already talked about what may or may not happen with Ben Roethlisberger. And look, I mean, there's still a way, you know, depending on what you want to do with Joe Hayden's contract, there's a way to free up a little bit of a cap space that way. Via some sort of a restructure as well too. It's not, I don't think it's advisable to go that way with him. I'd much rather see him go to Antonio Brown and Alejandro Villanueva first, and we'll see if that ultimately happens. But in the meantime, you have anything else to add?
I don't. I'm good.
All right. Well, until Monday, throughout the weekend, we'll be having draft profiles up on SteelersDepot.com. And I really want you to read my profile on Auburn edge rusher Jeff Holland. It's going up later today. I think a lot of you out there will enjoy it and could envision him possibly in a Steelers uniform as an outside linebacker. Any news breaks, we'll, of course, have it as well, too. And as David mentioned at the top of the show, he and I will be back on Monday for one podcast next week. I'll be leaving to go out of town on Tuesday and will not return until late Saturday, early Sunday morning. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the cause during the offseason, go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button in the upper right navigational bar. And I'm all hyped up on Diet Mountain Dew right now.
All right, good stuff. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back Monday. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.